glad you could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. A week ago, Dad, we dug into the importance of expositional preaching, and we just barely scratched the surface with the definition.
Right. Hopefully we pricked some interest there.
Right. We want to continue talking about the need and the fruit. So we talked about the definition, but now we want to talk about the need for this. Why do we do this?
Right.
And then what's the outpouring, the outflow of when it's done?
Yeah.
And honestly, there is so much here. That it's hard to even break it up into just 2 weeks. I mean, last week we were running just a little bit over. But this is an important issue. And just so our listeners, in case they missed last week or didn't, or just it's been a week and they've forgotten, we talked about the definition of expositional preaching, which basically is taking the Word of God and expounding what it means in its context, both historically, both culturally, and both as Scripture as a whole,
and grammatically,
bringing the communication all together to bear upon the heart and soul of the believer.
Right.
So to draw out the meaning from the text.
Right.
So that's expositional preaching. Different styles out there. We'll give that much.
There's some different more conversational, styles. some more oratorical, whatever.
Yes. Maybe some people read their sermons a little bit more. Yeah. You know, I don't know. But that is at the core is what it should be.
Yeah.
So that being the definition, we want to jump into this week's episode on the need or the necessity and then the fruit. So the question is, why the need for expositional? It may sound self-explanatory, but maybe we need to talk about a little bit why the need for expositional preaching.
Well, we need it because we need the Word itself. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing is that people, they've got Dr. Phil and they've got
Oprah Winfrey.
Oz the Great and Powerful. Tell them what's good for them. You know, I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course. But I mean, tell them what's good for them physically. They got all kinds of things out there. We don't need these topics and things where people come and just start talking and telling stories and shooting from the hip because they have the gift for gab. You know, we don't need guys with the gift for gab. We need guys who delve into the Word and apply it to the needs of the people. That's when Paul, when he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness.
Keeps coming up. It's amazing how that verse keeps coming up.
and people need to have the truth of God applied to their lives. They don't need stuff.
So there's a great need for it on a personal level.
Right.
So therefore, because it's a great need, I think it's safe to say it's essential.
Right.
It's not something we can do without.
Right. It's the Latin phrase I used a couple of times on the broadcast, the sine qua non, that without which we don't have anything. If we don't have exposition of the Scriptures, we really don't have anything.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think you look at the apostles and those who preached in the New Testament, you see them expounding the Word, and here's how you see this. And we didn't bring this out in the definition last week, but I think this bears upon the need and the fruit that came from it. Is that you see them taking the Old Testament, which was written, and expounding upon it in the New Testament.
That's exactly Romans, what I was just thinking.
Look at Romans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an exposition.
It's an exposition of Old Testament.
Of Old Testament writings.
And you could say the whole New Testament is that.
Yeah,
basically,
it really
they're expounding the Old Testament Scriptures.
I mean, when Paul starts talking about Abraham and the law and what the law could not do, and then talking about how Abraham was by faith.
Right.
He was counted righteous.
He's explaining what it meant.
He's going through, and a lot of times they're quoting directly.
Yeah.
I mean, verbatim the Scriptures.
And even giving the New Testament application.
Yeah. I don't think until I started studying and I spent a lot of time in the New Testament, I realized how much the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament.
Right.
It's a lot.
Well, I mean, that was their Bible.
Yeah.
That was their Scripture.
We're used to picking up our Bible.
Yeah.
That was their Bible, the Old Testament.
That was their Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Jesus said that you can draw the Old Testament Scriptures, the Law and the Prophet, down to two main things. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the New Testament Scriptures, in their instructional mode, are an expounding of that.
So there's a great need. Because of that great need, it's essential. I think it's safe to say we can take it even another step further, and that this is the best method.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so we've not only, we kind of set our path here where there's a great need, it's essential. So now the next logical conclusion is, well, then this is the best method that there is out there. This is the
biblical method. Right. You and I have talked about this when people will say, well, I want you to preach on such and such. And I say, okay, where's a good text on that? Now, that's the way I think. I think in terms of a text for it. Now, you can do exposition and bring other texts together, but when I think exposition, I think go to a text and then deal with the subject out of that text.
Right. So if it's the best method, this is essential, it's needed, and it's the best method, what is the alternative? Because there's alternatives out there that people think is great preaching. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a place and then people come, man, that was a great sermon. I'm thinking, going, well, they listen to the same thing I was?
Yeah.
You know? And so what's the alternative out there?
Well, there are. There's just the whole thing of topics. Just choose a topic, and that way people can go to their hobby horse, something they really like. I know growing up I heard a lot of once saved, always saved, and why I'm this, you know. And no, preach the word. I'm not saying I don't believe in once a person saved or they're always saved. I do believe that. But there are other things in Scripture. We don't want to ride hobby horses or topics.
Well, and just to counter that a little bit, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Dave preached on the whole issue of sending out people from our church. But honestly, it was more of a challenge to the people of God in that church from the passage in 2 Corinthians where it talks about where we are ambassadors
for Christ.
And he expounded on that section of Scripture and then brought the missionaries up and presented them. What a biblical way to do that. I mean, it wasn't just a pet project. He was challenging the congregation to something that was very biblical. And not just ran. I didn't feel like it was ran down my throat. I felt like I was like, no, this is biblical. This is what I need to be doing.
Say.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there's topical. I think there's storytelling. How many times would men just get up and they just tell stories?
Yeah, there's a place for illustration that illustrates your text.
Right.
But not a place.
It's all pointing back
for
to the
one
text.
Story after another that just makes people feel good or cry or whatever.
Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, I'm reading through his book right now on Preaching and the Preacher. I think that's how it goes. It may be about Preaching and the Preacher.
Right.
And he talks about this issue of using stories or using analogies, object lessons. And he tells you, first of all, he spends a lot of time, which he does that anyway, on anything that he talks about. But he spends a lot of time talking about the dangers of it. But then he talks about what's so valuable about it. And his point in there is it must always be pointing back to the text.
Right.
It builds the text. Right. It doesn't bring anything out of the text that's not there.
Right. It opens a window, a door upon it. Shines light on it.
There's prophecy. This may be a touchy situation, but I tell you what, that gets around.
Yeah, well, and prophecy is a biblical topic.
Right.
But what happens is people get excited. They'll see something on a marquee about, a 7-part series on prophecy. And, buddy, they're all excited about that. But when it comes to applying the Scripture to their daily lives so they live their lives and do their jobs and live their lives in their home according to the Word of God, they're not really very interested. So, we can get all caught up in sensational stuff. I heard one preacher say one time, prophecy is a lot easier understood after it happens than it is before.
Yeah, that's true. So, well, and that's why we can expound upon the New Testament so easily now.
Because most of it is fulfilled. Yeah,
it's fulfilled. Yeah. Okay, so obviously we've dealt with the definition, now we've dealt with the need and the necessity. It is essential, it's the best method, it's needed. Now, what is it that takes place when it happens? What's the fruit that bears forth out of expositional preaching? Not just a couple of days of expositional preaching, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, we're talking about years upon years, precept upon precept.
Yeah. Well, what you have simplest thing is you have spiritual growth. It's interesting. Our folks might be able to folks listening might be able to find this on the web somewhere. Southeastern Seminary had Sinclair Ferguson in for some preaching on teaching on the pastor and sanctification. And he talked about the pastor's personal sanctification, but he talked about the sanctification of the people. And he brought out the point is that he says, what is Paul tells us what to do, but he doesn't tell us how to do it.
Hmm.
And then he kind of sits there for a minute.
People have a hard time with
that. He says, why is that?
Yeah.
He says, then he goes on to say, here's the thing. He said, because what we find is that the how is in the text itself. As we delve into the text, we find the how, the application in the text itself. It's there. You just have to dig in there and get it. And so that's what's the beauty of exposition, is that it brings out what it says. It's bingo. hits you right on the heart, hits you right in the mind, hits you right in your life, right in your home, right in your workplace, right in wherever you are, because that's what the Word of God is about.
Well, and I think that's the genius of the Scriptures, if I can use that phrase, is because the genius of the Scriptures is that if it had said, this is how you do it in every situation, it would not have been able to transcend from all cultures and all years and centuries later. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Our culture is different than when the Bible was written then.
Much different.
Not even the
same. But there are a lot of commonalities. I
mean, heart of man was the same. Don't get me wrong. But how that Scripture's, not that the Word of God changes.
No, and life in principle is the same.
Right, but how it bears upon us and the challenges that we're facing now, it transcends. And to me, that's the genius of the Scriptures.
Right.
Because if it had been so specific that you could never get out of that, how would it have bore upon all
cultures? You know, you'd almost think God wrote it or something.
You would think.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said about the faithful preaching of Scripture as a whole over a period of time.
Yes.
That provides a thorough viewpoint and understanding of the Scriptures to a local congregation.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's important why men should stay in a local congregation for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Invest themselves there.
Yep.
Because he has the opportunity to expound the Word over years. Our pastor's been at our church now 7-8 years almost. He's preached through Ephesians. He's preached through Galatians since we've been there.
Right.
He's now working through Hebrews. Right. He was in 1 Corinthians. When I first started going there, he was just finishing up Luke. You look at all that.
Right.
And so much has been taught, and even the breaks in between where he would deal with certain issues he felt like needed to be dealt with. And
so what you have is, go back to our Nehemiah passage, is a man over time reading a passage, giving the sense, explaining what it means, drawing out what the writer and the Spirit of God is saying and applying it to the hearts of his people as a loving pastor over time should do.
So the sanctification of the people of God.
Yes.
Comes through the deep, sound preaching of God's Word.
Yeah.
And honestly, I like this. To me, when we talked about this beforehand, when we were preparing for this episode, what we want to do is bring the reality of Jesus to bear upon the lives of those who hear.
Right.
That's what we're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's my culture in which I'm within, my problems, my situation that I'm in, or we as a group collectively, whatever it may be, Jesus Christ bears upon that.
Yeah.
Today, tomorrow, and forever.
Well, it's funny that a lot of people and places where they have emphasized the exposition of Scripture have gone to this passage where there were the Greek fellows who came to the disciples and said, we would see Jesus, but they'll use that, and it's a little bit out of context, but the point is still the same, is that you must think, the expositor must think in terms of people sitting out there saying, we want to see Jesus. And you're going to say, I'm going to show them Jesus. I'm going to show them what it means to know and follow Christ from this text of Scripture. And that's what the fruit of exposition is. Mm.
That's good. You know, I look at men who have given their lives to exposition. I think of men like John MacArthur. I think of men like even who are dead now, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Mm-hmm. Just treasure.
Yeah.
A wealth.
Yeah.
Of teaching.
Yeah. Men who taught other men to be expositors, like Stephen Oford. And,
who's dead now as well.
Right.
And theologically, we have some differences with him, but still just an incredible expositor. Adrian Rogers.
Yeah.
Incredible expositor.
Yeah.
And John Piper, who's more current and people know about him, all the way to new people like John Platt.
Yeah.
John Platt. David Platt. I've got all these Johns in my mind here. Right. But David Platt. Or Mark Dever.
Mark Dever, yeah.
You know, guys who expound the Word.
And then there are guys out there that never get noticed, but are in these little places, out of the way places, and they're week by week expounding the Scriptures. Yeah.
And a friend of ours, actually he's on our board, Mike Frindrick, made the point. He goes, you know, we all go to these conferences where we want to hear all these great preachers, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're gifted men.
Yeah.
He said, but what about the guy who has 80 people, 60 people in his congregation who preaches the Word day in and day out.
Yeah.
He goes, bless him. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Bless him. He is being faithful to the Word. And I kind of want to close off with a quote from Alan Redpath. He says, how pointless would be any series of biblical studies unless we caught a fresh glimpse of the loveliness of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. We would hope that every Sunday is a fresh glimpse of the person of Jesus Christ.
That the people are going to walk away with a tighter embrace upon Christ.
Amen. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time again, and that brings us to a close. So thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.